Welcome, everyone, and thanks for joining me this next hour. You are listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way we listen to the world. And this is August 20th, 2024. And we are going to be talking about the cosmic dance for this week. This is an astrology show. We talk about a few other things as well. You know, we interweave many of those ideas, but we're certainly going to be talking about this week because the sun is making a big move. It is moving into Virgo, which is kind of the symbol for get ready. Summer is almost over. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're just really going to dive deep and focus on the sign of Virgo, especially with the sun moving into it. And before we get started, I will invite you to meet me over on Facebook in our private group. You know, we have a 1-2 Radio private group. And by private, what that means is, you know, you ask to join. And when you join, then our producer, Jay Varvel, will let you in. And then you can post comments or questions during the show. And there again, private, it just means that it's just not on the whole Facebook, you know, panorama, so to speak. So if you'd like to join me over there, that would be nice. It's completely up to you. I always like to see those, you know, those wonderful memes that you know, say, and good morning, etc. Hi, Alishea. Thank you so much for being here today. And Leslie and Anne and James. James is just, he is there. He is always there for me. So thank you, James and Kathleen. Kat, you know, our psychic Kat. Thank you so much for being here today. We miss Kat on our Tuesdays because she and I have been together on Tuesdays for as long as I can remember. But I'm loving to have Peggy right before me in the lineup. And Kat, of course, is over on Mondays right after Mark. So that's a really cool setup too. So, but Kat, it's good to see you. Thank you for being here today. And here again, I'm trying to get a little better with Facebook. And what I mean is I have been kind of testing out the waters and seeing, you know, I've had some problems that they keep kicking me off saying that I'm violating community standards. And I've not been able to figure out exactly what that means, but I'm playing with sometimes responding to people or hit like and see how far I can go before I get kicked off. So, but one thing for sure, they almost always let me see what you're saying. So go ahead and post your comments or even your questions as we're, you know, interacting today, and we'll see how it goes. And I'll try to pay a little more attention to that. So this week's mantra, and it's interesting, you know, I always either pull, well, I always do a card spread as I write my article for Mark's Power Peak, which I hope you subscribe to. That is that weekly newsletter. You can subscribe for free. It comes to your email every Saturday night, and it has a lot of articles by people that I think would be of like mind. And I mean, you know, because they're metaphysical people, they do things, you know, they're looking for ways to live in the world that are lighter and more peaceful and more enduring and more valuable. You know, just trying to, that's what we're going to talk about today, living in very much a dualistic world where we know on some level or another that we're spiritual beings having a physical experience. But what does that feel like when we're trying to live that double life? And Virgo is really, I mean, it's so timely because that's exactly what Virgo does and what Virgo can teach us. And she can just be our light along the path when it comes to that. So this week's mantra, one of the first things that kind of came to me as I was looking at the cards and I'm just considering what's going on is the phrase, and here again, you know me, I'm a collector of information. I don't have any planets in Gemini in my chart. However, I have two planets in the Gemini house, which is the third house of the chart. One is my sun and one is my Mercury. And so both of those planets are kind of honorary Geminis. And what does Gemini do? Collects information. You know, it's the great librarian, so to speak, because we collect all this information. We may or may not have time to put it all together, although Geminis do a pretty good job of that. Not quite like the Sagittarians who come up with a personal philosophy based on that information. But Geminis, they do. They collate that information. They put it together. They figure out, you know, I know a little bit of this and a little bit of that and where I can go get more information. So with that, you know, we're looking at all of this stuff and collecting information. And so I came across this phrase, managing adversity. And at first I thought, well, that's kind of a bummer of an idea, isn't it? And then I quickly said, no, it's not. Managing adversity. So if that would be the week's theme, and as it turned out, as I got more and more and more into the week and looked at the astrology, I thought that is exactly a timely theme, managing adversity. And what I mean by that is that, you know, no, it's not an idea that, you know, just automatically you go, okay, that's what I want to do this week. But, you know, how often, I mean, what it pointed out to me is that so often I look at something and I go, okay, as soon as this is over, or if only that would happen, or if only this problem is resolved. Well, you know, living on planet Earth, we continue to experience problems or dilemmas, or maybe you consider them challenges or tests. I mean, I want you to be honest. Do you ever have a time when there's not a single thing on your to-do list? Really? And is there ever a time that you go, nope, I don't have a single problem, a single trouble, or a single dilemma that is bothering me, that's interfering with my peace of mind? Now, of course, those things don't really interfere with our peace of mind. We let them interfere with our peace of mind. But, you know, I think it's whether you want to consider it hardwired or whatever it is, we see problems and dilemmas. And once again, maybe it's because we really are strangers in a strange land. We are spiritual beings, and we've put on this costume of living on this planet. And I mean, think about some of those science fiction movies that you've ever watched. And, you know, the astronauts are all, you know, puffed up in these big suits, and they're trying to live in a climate that, you know, doesn't have oxygen or doesn't have every single thing that we need. And the minute that suit rips or something happens, then you can't live on that particular planet. Now, I'm not trying to make Earth out to be inhospitable. I'm just trying to draw an analogy here that as spiritual beings, we put on this costume of being physical. And doing that does create a number of issues for us, especially if we get identified with the costume and forget that we're the spiritual being. So, you know, in this world, I refer to it as a concept of shampoo, rinse, and repeat. Because you've shampooed your hair, you know, you rinse it, you repeat it, and then before you know it, you need to do it again. And it's the same thing with everything. Like, we breathe, we take that deep breath, and we fill our lungs. But you know what? A minute later, a few seconds later, you do it again. You eat breakfast, but you know, sooner or later, you're going to be hungry again. You drink some water. Sooner or later, you're going to need more water. So eating, drinking, sleeping, it's the same thing all over again. You know, our life on this planet is patterns, and our bodies need continual care. They're not a one and done. Almost nothing on this planet is one and done. So, you know, that's why we get into habitual behavior, for one thing, you know, to keep that, you know, body moving. But we can also just look at this process. And when I say managing adversity, I thought maybe when I had this almost kind of negative feeling when I first heard that phrase, maybe it's because I just, you know, I want to deny it. You know, I don't even want to think about it. And yet, how empowering could it be if I saw myself and life in general as this is a classroom? You know, that's not a new concept. I didn't make it up. But this is a classroom. And we continually, hey, what's on the test today? What are we going to learn? What science experiment are we going to do today? And we master it. So we come into life, number one, believing that we can master it. You know, we're not scared of it. You know, we're not the kindergartner on the first day of school. You know, we walk into that classroom, into that science experiment and go, oh, good, what am I going to learn today? What's going to happen today? Because this is an opportunity to learn something, to, you know, to become the master, to become the person who's really good at this. I mean, could you imagine somebody saying, yes, adversity, I am your person. I can manage that with a flick of my wrist, you know, with a blink of my eye. And so how empowering would it feel to not kind of keep trying to avoid any kind of discomfort and avoid any problem when they're not really avoidable? I mean, some of them are. I mean, obviously, we bring some things on ourselves when, you know, like it, just this week, I'll tell you, I had had several different things that needed to, I mean, here again, that needed to be done. I needed some help with the yard. There was some yard work I couldn't do. And I finally just gave in and said, you know what? I need to hire somebody to do this. I can't do this myself. I'm not strong enough, tall enough, whatever. Somebody with a ladder and the right equipment can do this really quickly. So I did it. And, you know, of course it cost some money. And then I turn around and my car's making this funny sound. And my first thought was, I'm just going to let that go and see if it keeps doing it. And then, of course, it didn't take too long. I mean, I'm just like, same day, I'm going, no, you can't just ignore it. You ignore it, and then you're going to get stuck somewhere because that sound is either your battery or your starter. And but I thought how quickly I jumped to, let's just ignore this. Let's just not pay attention. You've already spent money this week, so let's just not do this. And I almost had to force myself to kind of just go, no, get it checked out. And I did. It was a battery, got a new battery. In a sense, pretty painless. Not completely, but pretty, because, you know, somebody kind of came to my aid and said, hey, I know exactly where to go, where to get the battery, how to do this, etc. But, you know, once again, managing adversity. And was it really that painful to just say, yes, this isn't quite right. Let's check it out before it becomes a problem. So once again, learning something about myself and realizing that the truth is it was pretty easy to fix. Hiring somebody to do the things in the yard that I couldn't do. Getting somebody to help me with the battery. And yet I was willing, in a sense, to jeopardize getting, you know, stuck on the road somewhere because I just didn't want to look at it. I didn't want to look at one more thing this week. You know, I don't want one more thing going wrong. I got my plate full, so to speak. So once again, this idea of managing adversity just kept coming to me going, okay, maybe I am willing to just say, yeah, there are some things that aren't a perfect fit on this planet. In life, there are some things that just aren't a perfect fit. But you know what? I'm going to become the manager of adversity. So I'm just kind of taking that on. And, it, you know, you don't change overnight, that's for sure. But here comes the sun in Virgo. And once again, I just thought, what perfect timing. The sun will enter Virgo on Thursday morning this week. And really, if there's any sign capable of and willing to perfect our expertise in handling difficulties or messy situations, it really might be Virgo. She's resourceful. She's humble. This is the sixth sign of the zodiac, and it's an earth sign, but it's ruled by the mental planet of Mercury. Now, that gives her very special qualities because she is analytical. She does have that mind, you know, that very strong mind and mental and communication and connecting the dots, but in a very pragmatic, practical way because she's an earth sign. Virgo is versatile, practical, analytical, and systematic. Also, this is a mutable sign. You know, all of the signs are related to an element, which is her earth, but they're also related, or they're in a category that we call modality or mode. She's a mutable sign. That means that she is the third and the last sign in the astrological quarter that we call summer. So, you know, summer starts with Cancer, that's the cardinal sign, moves into the fixed sign of Leo, and ends with the mutable sign of Virgo. And of course, those mutable signs, always at the end of a season, they're like a bridge. They're a transition to where we're going to go next. So before we really get to fall with Libra, we're walking across this bridge. We're walking through this transition with Virgo. And she has that dual kind of personality. That's what we find with the other mutable signs, like Pisces and Sagittarius and Gemini twins. They've got two very distinct signs to themselves. So we're going to talk a lot about that. But one thing I wanted to mention, and once again, like I said, that Gemini energy in me, I'm a collector of information. You know, I may not think up anything original myself, but I'm really good at, you know, at being a clearinghouse. I'm really good at collecting a lot of information and then going, hey guys, look over here, this is good. So one of the books I know that I've mentioned before, but you may or may not remember, you may not have been, you know, in the particular chat room the day or, you know, listening to the show that day. It's called The Knot of Time, and that's K-N-O-T. The Knot of Time, Astrology and the Female Experience. It was written by Lindsay River and Sally Gillespie and published in 1987. And I'm referring to it today because this, whenever I think of Virgo, I mean, I love the book. It is one of my go-to reference books when I'm looking for basic information, or even if I'm just looking for a story or an adjective or something about a sign or a planet or a house, that's going to be one of my reference books. And it's, in fact, my book, I was noticing yesterday, it's like the pages are so incredibly yellow. Just so incredibly yellow because I have had it since the 80s. But the other thing is the binding is really good. So at least the pages aren't falling out yet. But it did kind of make me think. I thought, maybe I better see if this book is still available just in case it starts falling apart. So I did go over to Amazon and it is available. So if it's available on Amazon, I'm sure you can find it in other places too. Now, what I'm not sure is whether any of those are new. They may all be used books, but it doesn't matter. Like I said, if you're interested in astrology, and I think especially if you're a woman, you don't have to be a woman to like this book, but it was written, like I said, in 1987, so you can imagine part of the slant in some of the political things that were going on at that time, you know, the real rise of the women's movement during, you know, some of those decades. And one of the things that I loved about the book when I first opened it up is they said in their foreword about, you know, how they were presenting the information, and they said, oh, and by the way, we've chosen to use female pronouns, she and her, instead of he, which are the traditional ones. You know, when you're not referring to sex in particular, it's always he. And they said, but, you know, we're going to use she instead. And so, of course, I laughed and I thought, that is just perfect. I loved it. So that's why a lot of throughout the book, you know, it does use those female pronouns. But so what? It really applies to everybody. Not every Virgo is a she. Not every Virgo is a her. But they do talk about astrology. They even name the book From the Female Experience. But it's a wonderful book for men and women in terms of people wanting to understand astrology. So many of the ideas that I continue to this day to really kind of embrace about Virgo. And I don't know why, more than the other signs. You know, it's like, I may not remember exactly what they refer to or when they talk about some of the other signs, but I always remember Virgo. And simply, I think, because so often when you pick up an astrology book and they're talking about Virgo, they're talking about that picky, you know, meticulous, has to be perfect, maybe self-critical, critical of other people, judgmental. You know, I just think Virgo so often just gets painted in a very negative way, almost like she's a nun and she's rapping your knuckles, that kind of energy. And so when I read their book, I'm just like, this just feels right. This feels so much better than some of those other characterizations. Now, of course, there's a reason for those characterizations. But there again, I think of this book, you know, Lindsay River and Sally Gillespie, their way of thinking about Virgo. So a lot of the ideas that I always present, the ideas that come to mind are things that directly I learned in their book. So some of the things I'm going to share with you today are from their book. Others are not. I mean, it's, you know, here again, I collect the information. I get good information from anybody who's got good information. But when we're looking about, or when we're looking at Virgo, she is the epitome of the energy or the story of the great goddess. And the ideas and myths and stories that are treasured by goddess-worshipping people are really just infused within the idea of Virgo. Now, in their book, in fact, they even say, you know, one sign can't possibly hold all the myths, all the stories, all the ideas about goddesses, but that Virgo is a natural fit for that. She is the goddess, and she represents fertile earth, mother, and the sanctified virgin all at the same time, the queen of heaven and the woman who lives in obscurity. She is every woman, all the stories. So as you've learned before, heard before, the archetypes for Virgo are things like the hermit, the analyst, the server, and the temple virgin. Now that I want to actually read something from their book, because this just really, really explained some things to me, and I was so glad I latched on to this. But when they talk about virgin, and they talk about some of the stories of the temple virgins in particular, which they are associating with Virgo, they say the apparently paradoxical combination of both sexuality and virginity in the Corn Maiden, which is one of the stories of Virgo, and the mother had no contradictions for goddess-worshipping peoples. They saw all those things as being very consistent. Being the mother, being the Corn Maiden, being sexual, you know, all of that went together. They say sexuality was sacred, and the word virgin did not apply to celibacy or inexperience as it does now. A virgin was a woman who did not belong to any man. And I would actually substitute who did not belong to any other person. She was her own mistress, aware of her powers and her value. She formed relationships and made love when she chose to, but never gave up her right to self-determination. Now that's another idea that they use in their book, but I've read that in many other books as well. A lot of astrologers kind of latch onto that lingo, self-determination, when it comes to Virgo, because that's the important thing, is that when you belong to no other person, when in a sense you're not beholden to some other person or to some group, you have the option of being completely authentically yourself, being self-determined. So here's this Virgo energy, Mercury ruled, but an earth sign, and learning to be self-determined. So here again, when we look at Virgo, what is she looking for? Some people would say the search for meaningful service, the imperfect world versus the divine. So once again, managing adversity, learning to live on planet Earth in a physical body, but being a spiritual being. So maybe some of you have heard some of the mythology. You know, almost always there are a number of myths that are associated with any particular sign. Well, the one that I usually go back to, and I think is one of the most common ones, is the Star Maiden, Astraea. She was a goddess of justice and one of the last gods and goddesses living on Earth among humans. So the story goes, and here again, you know, I'm filling in some details and you can fill in some too, but just I'm trying to create a picture here. So the gods and goddesses, you know, they were famous for, you know, in their stories of always mixing it up with humans, being on Earth and kind of messing up or, you know, messing in with whatever was going on Earth. So it says there were all these gods and goddesses living on Earth with humans in an age of peace and harmony. But over time, the world became greedy, ugly, competitive, and involved in a number of wars, you know, just continual fighting. So the other gods are kind of like, okay, this isn't fun anymore. I'm not doing this. I'm off doing my other thing, you know. So all the other gods, they either go back to, you know, the mountaintop, or they're moving on to some other place. But Astraea stayed because of her devotion to be of service. You know, she's the one saying, you know what, I think there's still work to be done here. I think I can be a role model. I think I can be a teacher. I think I can hold the ideal that people will know, these humans will know, that this doesn't have to be. You know, there could be another age of peace and harmony. We don't have to live by these other values. We don't have to foster the competition and the wars and the greediness and the just me first and it's all about me. We don't need to do that, right? And so she said, I'm going to stay. So she did. She stayed on planet Earth, and why she finally left, I'm not sure. But apparently when she left, she was rewarded by being turned into the constellation of stars that became Virgo as a constant reminder for humans on Earth that there's something else possible. So see, once again, whether, you know, whatever your belief system is, you know, is it angels or ancestors or whatever it is, you can look up the stars of Virgo, that constellation, and it can be the reminder that there is something, it is possible, something beyond what's going on in your everyday life. It's not just about eating breakfast and going to work and cleaning the yard up and doing everything that we need to do. There's something else. We're living, in a sense, dual lives. We're living as dual beings, so to speak. But it kind of comes down to that dilemma of living in an imperfect world. And that's the other thing. I think sometimes when I find myself just getting so frustrated, that's it. This is an imperfect world. And so the Virgo energy that gets such a bad reputation of just being such a perfectionist and having to have things a certain way and in these categories, that is very useful because she is trying to create an order. She's trying to set kind of a role model, a pattern, a habit. You know, Virgo is the queen of habits. That is the sign of habits. In the natural chart, what we call the natural chart, she rules the sixth house, which is about everyday habits and routines. So this is about, in a sense, trying to tame the uncontrollable in our lives. And we do that through habits and routines, right? It's the dilemma of living in an imperfect world. And needing to, you know, embrace the opposites of being mortal and divine, spiritual and materialistic. You know, we are spiritual beings, but we live in a material universe. So how do we balance those things between the spirituality and the materialism? And it's a continual dance, always. You know, I guess I kind of assume if you really master it, you probably leave this planet just like Astraea. You're like, okay. Lesson learned, I'm out of here now, I'm going someplace else. But that's what we're always facing every single day, the dilemma of living in an imperfect world. So when we look at Virgo, we see those traits and attributes of being skillful, discerning, discriminating, sincere, observant, always observant, which I think is number one. You know, sometimes I don't think you even need to make a difference or make a change. You don't need to do something. You need to observe something and then just let that light dawn. What do you do with that observation? Learning to observe is a very, very difficult, I think, or rather I'd say challenging thing. And maybe just for me, because I think I have all the answers. And so being that neutral observer really takes practice. Being able to see something with fresh eyes. Being able to say, I'm going to not bring any of my preconceptions in here. I'm not going to bring any of my lenses. But how do you do that, especially if you don't even know that you're using the lens? You don't even know that you're looking through the rose-colored glasses or the dirty glasses or whatever it is. So being the observer is very Virgo. Being practical, taking a scientific approach, literally, you know, can you walk in and just say, if this, then that? The scientific approach of, I'm going to remain neutral and I'm going to let the evidence point me in the direction rather than saying, this is what I want to prove and this is how I'm going to prove it. Now, obviously, we set up experiments that way too because we think something is working in a certain way. And so we're going to test the theory. But still, that scientific mind or that scientific idea of, let me look at this and see, what is the pattern that evolves? What is it really telling me? Being honest, having integrity. See, once again, I think Virgo is one of the most idealistic signs. There again, just based on the mythology, she knows what it's like to live in a world of peace and harmony. She knows it. She knows it in her gut. So she's looking for those traits, and she's looking for how can those traits be literally infused into the material world? How can we act as if we really are spiritual beings having a physical experience? She's precise, but she's also critical. And that critical is one of those words that I think can be neutral, but can go either way. Because you have to be able to, like, pick out the splinter. You know, you have to be able to critically assess information. But to be critical, to turn into that judgmental of, but this is bad. The splinter is bad, you know, versus it just is. That's a different kind of trait. And of course, every single sign has its shadow. So that very precision, that ability to really pick something apart, can turn negative, can turn a little dark when it becomes the judgment. When it becomes the picking somebody apart and making them feel bad about what's going on. So skeptical is one of their, you know, is one of their words or their characterizations. Being studious and meticulous, being that researcher, and being the perfectionist. You know, in some ways, there's nothing wrong with being a perfectionist unless you just get so hung up on it that it is the be all and the end all. Oftentimes, Virgo is considered unselfish because, you know, one of the things that Virgo is famous for really is because of that sense of I want to serve the world. They don't have, I mean, and they're, remember too, they're kind of trying to create or correct for the excess of Leo. And the excess of Leo is that ego of me, 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 right? I want the credit. I want to be on stage. I want everybody to value me. So Virgo's like, no, I don't mind standing behind the curtain. I don't mind taking care of this. You don't have to give me, you know, I don't need to be in the credits. I don't need to be getting all of the, you know, all the value out of this. Now, it doesn't mean that those people don't have egos. It doesn't mean that when we really get into this energy that we never want anybody to acknowledge what we've done, but we're not doing it for the acknowledgement. And you know why we're not doing it for the acknowledgement? Partially, it's just what I was talking about, being self-determined. I don't want to be beholding to somebody else or to getting approval. I don't want to have to do something just because I'm living for the approval. I'm living for somebody's okay, telling me that I'm all right. When we're into that Virgo energy, which all of us have it in our chart somewhere, and maybe you even have planets that are in Virgo. Well, when we have that, you know, we want to be self-determined. We don't want to be beholden to somebody else, right? So, and by the way, I was just going to go over to Facebook and kind of check out comments and see if there's any questions and see, looking for something else, and I think I'm doing something wrong because they're not the, now I can't get it to come up. So I'll get back to it in a few minutes. But that idea of being self-determined, you know, independent. See, Virgo is actually very independent, which now brings me to that dual side. It is so true that she really has a dual side because she's going to be the person who is out there serving. You can count on her. Somebody needs to bring cookies for the fundraiser, or they need to organize the cash box, or they need to be at the door and taking the money as people are coming in and out. If you need somebody to organize a clothing drive, or you need somebody who's, you know, there's a natural disaster and you need somebody coming in and doing this, and somebody probably willing to both give or take directions, that's the Virgo. She is the volunteer. She's going to be the person that you can count on when you need something. She's going to willingly, in a sense, not sacrifice herself. We don't want to go there, but just being able to, she's going to do the overtime. She's going to be the one who makes sure that the balance really is the balance. She's not going to walk away when she hasn't gotten it figured out yet. So, you know, that employee that you want that's really going to, you know, take pride, so to speak, in her ability to make things perfect, that's your Virgo. And never really overtly seeking credit. You know, just, I mean, and there again, maybe because she's giving herself credit. You know, she's valuing herself. And a Virgo knows what they're worth. So there is that thing, she's going to be of service. But the other side, and this is what I think throws people sometimes, is the privacy, the need for being a loner. And I notice I did not say lonely. Virgo just likes to be alone. You know, when she's out there in the world, and once again, she is this spiritual being having a physical experience. So she's been at the fundraiser, she's been doing the chaos, she's been babysitting the kids or doing whatever it takes. Then she needs that private time. She needs to come back to that quiet place where she can hear her own thoughts, where she literally refortifies herself through whatever it is that she does. Maybe she meditates, maybe she has a spiritual practice, maybe she writes poetry, maybe, you know, she just listens to music, maybe she does embroidery, whatever it is, she needs her own quiet time where she rebuilds her resources. You know, is it connecting with an inner guide? Maybe. But she needs the time by herself to fill herself back up. And when I say people don't understand, it's, I always think of Virgo with that sentence, you know, when people say, it's not you, it's me. Well, in Virgo's case, she's absolutely telling the truth. It's not about you. It's about her. She wants her private time. And it doesn't matter who you are, how much she loves you, how much she enjoys being with you, she needs her me time. And in some ways, we all need that time when the sun is in Virgo, or at least we can touch base with how much time do we need on our own to hear our own thoughts. Because especially many of us, and I know many people listening to this show, you might be like above average. You probably are above average when it comes to being sensitive to other people's energy, to being intuitive, being psychic, having psychic abilities. But once again, if that's what you're doing all the time, you're just this open, you know, vulnerable bucket of receptivity, there, you need to balance that, I think. Don't want to put any judgment on it, but yeah, how do you balance out that energy? And see, Virgo does it by having really strong material boundaries. See, she's pretty good at that. So is Taurus. You know, those earth signs know how to create boundaries. Kelly Whetstone, she's a Taurus. They know how to create boundaries, right? Now, once again, it doesn't mean I don't love you. It doesn't mean I don't want to be with you. It just means I know for myself, I need to balance it out. To really be of service to you, to be of service in the world, I've got to fill myself up with something. You know, maybe I need to read. Maybe I need to study. Maybe I need to figure some things out. I need to feel like the master craftsman. I need to feel like the expert, and I develop that by repetitive or continual work in an area that I love. You know, and just like Capricorn and Taurus, actually, Virgos oftentimes will talk about the importance of work. I need to do something meaningful, and I want to do it to a certain standard. You know, I want to do it to a certain standard. That's how it has to be. So remember those dual sides of Virgo. Yeah, on one hand, they're right out there. You can count on them for anything. They're going to be the person of service, but they need that private time. And it's not about you. They're not mad at you. They just need to have their private time. Now, I want to talk too about some of the interesting things about the transit of the sun through Virgo. And here again, you guys are going to think I'm a broken record, and I am. But what's going to happen, I'm going to talk about Yods for just a minute, not too long, because right before the sun moves into Virgo, while it's still at the end of Leo on Wednesday, the sun is going to make an inconjunct, that's that very challenging connection, with Neptune that's sitting at 29 Pisces. So it's making an inconjunct. So already, you know, and that in itself actually to me is an indication of, you know, managing adversity. Because the Leo sun says, you know, I want to be the performer. I want to be on stage. I want life to be beautiful. You know, I want life to be golden. so to speak. And here's Neptune in Pisces saying, but you know what? It's not all about the material appearances. It's got to be something deeper. It's got to be something more spiritual, more metaphysical, more, you know, your creative intelligence within. You know, so Leo, you can wear all the jewelry you want, you can get your hair done and have the latest wardrobe, but there's got to be something inside. So the sun hits that in conjunct with Neptune, which, you know, is that last plea, so to speak, with don't make this all about superficiality. Don't make this all about yourself. So then the sun slips into, or however you want to say it, the sun moves into Virgo. And it does that on Thursday. But almost as soon as it does, just a few hours later, the sun forms another in conjunct with Pluto, which is sitting over in Aquarius. And once again, if you know, if you're kind of picking up the trend here, yes, Neptune at 29 Pisces is in a sextile position to Pluto. So those two, and by the way, that's one of the reasons that we've had some yods going on. It's not the only one, because Saturn was involved in a yod too. But you've got these two planets that don't move very quickly. Neptune, Pluto, locked into, so to speak, a sextile. And that's great energy. I love Neptune and Pluto in a sextile. They're supporting each other. But every time a planet moves into that last degree of Leo, like right there between Leo and Virgo, what happens? They complete the triangle. They then in conjunct Neptune and Pluto almost simultaneously. And so I think we're going to have that one or two more times when we've got Venus or Mercury moving through that position. I'll have to check and make sure to see if Pluto and Neptune are still there. But see, like I said, they're moving slowly. They're retrograde, but they're moving very, very slowly. So as long as they're locked into that pretty tight sextile, and a planet then goes through the end of Leo, beginning of Virgo, we set up a yod. And the yod is considered, it's also called finger of God, finger of fate. And it says something special is going on here. You know, something, this planet is not operating on its own. In this case, the sun. It says this transit of the sun, it's trying to, you know, squeeze through this tight little space. But as it connects to both Neptune and Pluto, guess what? It's getting some operational, you know, instruction, so to speak. And Virgo certainly has her own ideas. But I think that in conjunct with Pluto, especially after Neptune, you know, it's going to prod and provoke us into really breaking the mold of what we think is going on in our lives. It really is going to force us to expand our ideas of what's possible, which to me, it's going to be a very positive thing, because I think, you know, even for somebody who's kind of locked into something and going, well, nothing's ever going to change, and maybe they've lost that feeling of Virgo. Maybe they can't quite see or feel that energy of, yes, there is something beyond this. You know, looking up at the Virgo constellation and saying, hey, there is a better world. There is a better way to be in this world. You know, and that's it. Don't we all at some point or another, we kind of get that. I mean, we fall into that, not depression, so to speak, but we just forget it. We forget that there's another way of seeing. And so I think Pluto is going to kind of knock us a little bit and just go, hey, guys, you know, we're not. And it may be very subtle, but I think it's going to be, in a sense, profound that the sun moving into Virgo does it as part of a yod, where the sun is the planet that's really being worked on. The sun is the planet that's being massaged and changed and said, wake up and smell the coffee, son. It's our egos. So this could be a really special thing. But once again, you may look at it like, well, I don't want this time to ever repeat. This is a pretty bad time for me. Or a lot of things are happening and it does feel like adversity. Well, guess what? Part of it is learning, at, you know, becoming the expert at managing adversity and feeling like the, not maybe enlightened, but the powerful person. The powerful person who says, I got this. I've got the wisdom to do this. I know what it takes. I know how to check in with an inner guide. I know how to look up at Astrea in Virgo and say, hey, thanks for the reminder. I know this world is not exactly what I want it to be, but I'm not going to give up hope. you know, I'm not going to give up hope. And that, I think, is what Pluto in Aquarius is helping us do. Say, don't look at just all the things that you think are going wrong. And don't deny your feelings. If you're going through a hard time, if you're going through a particularly challenging period, or you're looking around and you're going, wow, how could this ever happen? Or what is this about? Why do I feel this way? Once again, I would invite you, I would remind you to look up at Virgo, look at the constellation of the stars, and maybe it's not even Virgo, maybe it's just the stars in general, or maybe it's some other kind of, you know, symbol for you that tells you there is another way. There is something else. This isn't the whole thing. And really pat yourself on the back every time that you remember this doesn't have to be the way you see this situation. You are the manager of adversity. You are the person who is learning how to live in a flawed world as a spiritual being. So one thing, I want to end the show with some quotes, you know, from people with sun in Virgo. And many of them, they display different versions of how Virgo energy works. But the other thing I tell you, if you're an astrologer or you're studying astrology, a really interesting character study could be Rachel Ray. You know, the cook, she has all the television shows, the chef, because her sun, moon, Mercury, Venus, Jupiter, Uranus, and Pluto are all in Virgo. And I believe she has a Virgo rising. So if there's anybody that's Virgo, it's Rachel Ray. And I think, you know, I mean, that's just like a load of Virgo planets. And I haven't studied her chart at length, but she's an interesting one. And yet, you know, she, what I find interesting is how, in many ways, she is every woman. She's so down to earth. You know, she's not hoity-toity, so to speak, or a perfectionist in the way she cooks, or at least I've never noticed it that way. One of her quotes is, she says, it's continuously, now sound, hear this Virgo here, it's continuously humbling to work hard. You know, as long as you've got good work ethic and a sense of humor, I don't think anybody can become too much of an egoist under those circumstances. If that's not a Virgo statement, I don't know what is. Even her choice of words, humble. She used even the word of not too much of an egoist and hard work. But notice she also says sense of humor. You know, she, and maybe she is a personification of Astraea on the planet. But she also said another thing that I always thought was pretty funny, because she said, NASA asked me to create meals for the space shuttle. Thai chicken was the favorite. I flew in a fake space shuttle, but I had no desire to go into space after seeing the toilet. And the reason it makes me laugh is because, once again, you know how Virgo, we always have this thing about, oh, they're the ones that they don't like germs, or they don't want to touch food, or they don't want to eat food somebody else has made, or they, you know, picky, picky, picky. And so when she said that, but I didn't want to go into space once I saw the toilet, I thought it was funny. Okay, Greta Garbo also had Sun and Mercury in Virgo. And of course, her classic line, I never said I want to be alone. I only said I want to be let alone. There's all the difference. Now, the reason that is so Virgo to me is not only she was classic about keeping her own personal space, but also that picky, that definitive, she was, you know, literally explaining to you what the words meant. That also seems to me to be a very Virgo thing to do. And she also said, I'm not always sincere. One can't be in this world, you know? So that almost sounds like Astraea saying, I know what the goal is, but we're living in a flawed world. And she also said, is there anything better than to be longing for something when you know it is within reach? So once again, that sounds like Astraea to me. Agatha Christie has Sun in Virgo. And some of her quotes, I don't know if they're actually from her, you know, her books, or if she said it as a person, I'm not sure. But some of them, they're just so perfect. She said, I like living. I've sometimes been wildly, despairingly, acutely miserable, racked with sorrow. But through it all, I still know quite certainly that just to be alive is a grand thing. And that was not attributed to any book. So I think maybe she just said it about her life. Now, I'm not sure. But what's so great about that, once again, is I know what it's like to live in a dual world. I know it can be miserable, but I never give up hope. You know, never do I give up hope. Stephen King has a lot of great quotes. Some of those are from his books, but this is what he said, because he actually wrote a book on writing, you know, and in fact, maybe more than one. He said, "Amateurs sit and wait for inspiration. The rest of us just get up and go to work." There again, that sounds very Virgo to me. You know, I'd love to have the inspiration, but I'm not going to wait for it. I do what needs to be done. And that's what it is. So those are some of the quotes of people with sun in Virgo. And there's other stuff going on this week, and we don't have time to talk about it. So I would invite you, encourage you to make sure you're subscribing to Mark's Power Peak, where if you read my article, it's going to tell you everything that's going on. Well, not everything, but the things that I think are the highlights for each and every day, where the moon is and what's going on with those planets. If you want to just kind of keep track of what's happening on a daily basis. And there's so many other articles by people that I work with that surely you're going to find something in there that is going to be synchronistic and really just inspire your week. So I would encourage you to read that. And you know that you can find me on 12listen.com. And if you don't see me as available, please ask for a call back, because I'll get a text on my phone. And if I'm not with somebody else in it, you know, in a session or tied up in some way, I will respond as quickly as possible. Or you can request a scheduled call on a day and time that works for you. And really, I will do my best to change my schedule, to flex my schedule, to meet with you, because I love doing that. You know, I just love connecting with you and talking with you and talking about all this stuff. So please find me on 12listen.com. But for now, we better wrap it up. Thanks for joining me today. To everybody, to all the listeners and the people in the chat room, to our producer, Jay Varvel. And stay tuned, because I am up with Kelly next. Kelly on empowerment. We did postpone our meeting of the mind, so we're meeting today. So keep it tuned to 12 Radio, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. Jay has a few minutes to kind of reset all the connections, and then I'll be back with Kelly. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology on 12 Radio, where we are changing the way we listen to the world.